wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our heart had hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way.
Pastor Chris.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. What a blessing to be in the house of God on this Christmas morning. So as it is a custom, I'll call my wife to join me, then we as a family can wish you a Merry Christmas. Christmas is a wonderful time and a family time. We put all fighting aside. We put all arguments one side and we share gifts with one another. Amen. And my son is not here because he's in the U.S. So my daughter asked if I can excuse her from joining us here, and I said, okay. If the church feels it's okay, then it's okay. So I don't know what the church feels. But my wife is here and she will greet you.
Come to me. Good morning, everybody. Greetings in Jesus' name. A special greeting to our first-time visitors here this morning. You are so welcome. And thank you for choosing BMI to spend this special Christmas service with us. You know, today is a special day. A special gift was given to us. And sometimes we get so many gifts and we forget the indescribable love of God when He gave us the special gift of Jesus. And today I want to wish you all a blessed Christmas wish. I'm also bringing greetings from Jason. I think he sent us some photos this morning. He's currently with his family in Greenville. So he's celebrating Christmas, the Christmas day with them. And this is Ma. It's a little bit dark, but this is the lady that is caring for him for the course of the holidays. So all of you, I hope that you will enjoy the day with your family. And if you're traveling, may we pray for journey mercies and that you will return safely. God bless you all.
You people. Merry Christmas, everybody. I can just echo what Mommy said now about the gift of God that He gives us. And last night I was reading in Romans. If Bevan can just put on Romans 6:23 for me. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the NLT says the free gift. Yes, but the free gift of God is eternal life. And the nice thing about getting gifts on Christmas is that you don't deserve the gift. And you didn't work for the gift. It's irrevocably yours. You get it because someone loves you, right? So this was God's gift to us. And I hope that everyone who's here today, that you don't leave without receiving that gift. Merry Christmas.
Beautiful. Now, God is good that my family serves the Lord. It is not something that we must take lightly. You know, sometimes I listen to the great preachers like Benny Hinn and those people, and they always find they have trouble with their children not serving God or praying for them to come back to God. But God has been very good to me that my children have, or most pastor's children don't have an interest in the church because of maybe the neglect or too much of the effort that the father puts into the work. But by God's grace, I find that my children love the house of God and they love the church. And that's why it's important that occasionally they are not divorced from my life and my ministry. Do you understand that I am not just a pastor, but I am a husband and I'm also a father. So they must feel that they are part of what I'm doing. Hallelujah. So thank God for the great grace. It's just grace. It's unmerited favor. We can't say we are good and that's why God did it for us. No, it is grace. Hallelujah. And while I'm saying that, I now remember that we have a newborn baby called Grace. Our lady pastor Anthea gave birth again to a very fat, big 3.8 kilometer. Is it on the screen? Oh, very fat cheek baby. And the baby is healthy and they're coming home today. So visits can be made today. Our church has grown from 1,000 members to 1,001. Clap for Jesus. Amen. Today's parents don't have lots of children. Yesterday I met a small boy. He was 6 years old and my wife asked him, how many brothers and sisters do you have? And he said, 7. So I thought it's so uncommon. But we encourage the families that still have energy and breath and strength to make more children, because they said other religions are growing faster than Christianity. because the parents only stop at 2 children. And if you stop at 2 children, then there can't be a population growth, because 2 parents only make 2 children. So the population is going down. Do you understand? But the other religions make 5, 6, 7 children. So the religion increases by mere fact of giving birth. So if you are a healthy specimen and you can give birth, give birth in the name of Jesus. I don't know at what age birth giving stops. They say the egg starts to grow skew, the woman's ovaries at the age of 50. So anybody under the age of 50, you can still do it for Jesus. Amen. May your quiver be full, say the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I have only a short sermon because I would so much like to go and visit my other children in Symphony. I have other sheep that I must also account for. Pastor Charles is preaching there, but I want to just before they leave, go and shake the hands of the people if you don't mind. But if you do mind, then just never mind. I welcome all the visitors. We love Christmas because we are aware that we will get special visitors and guests, people who come to holiday in Cape Town. You are welcome. And may you be blessed by our short sermon and service. To those who attended the carols by candlelight, did you enjoy it? I'm telling you, it's going to get even more popular. We are glad to announce that we have finally bought our camera system. And we tried it out, but there were some mistakes. Anything that is new has some mistakes. But I'm sure from the first month of January, then we will be live on Facebook every Sunday. So those who by chance can't come to church, you can watch us live and you can enjoy the service from your bedroom. It's called Bedroom Ministries International. That's only the problem is when I'm praying and laying hands, you cannot receive that impartation. I see some pastors say, stretch your hands to the TV. But there's nothing better than personal laying on of hands. So it's still better to come to church. But in case you have to travel, we will be live on Facebook. Amen. And God is good where it's going. Not cell phone recording. Good camera recordings. Hallelujah. All right. So the sermon is called The Story of Jesus Christ. And I'm reading from Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Luke chapter 2 verse 1. It's Christmas. Hallelujah. What do you like about Christmas? Besides the food. I think I want to read in a New Living Translation. So that it's more clear. Amen. We thank Sister Bera for offering to take food to our men that's looking after the church property. I think it's a beautiful gesture. And I want to encourage the others to be like that. To think of others. You know, I'm so exhausted from the year. The year really took its toll. The building project, so much. But I realized that if we can, at this time of the year, at the Christmas time, because we have property, and we're too late now, but we can do it next year if God spares us. We put a banquet table for people who are less fortunate. It doesn't matter who they are, even if they not from our church, but they can come and eat. Can we do something like that? Just one day, give somebody a special treat. The day Jesus was born. Amen. Jelly and custard shall work lekker wees. Hallelujah. I had a friend who ate custard for the first time and the whole family went to hospital. We grew up in Aitzach. We were very poor. And so the whole family went to hospital and they said something dangerous happened. Then the doctor discovered that they've never eaten pudding in their lives. So for the first time, they had some custard and jelly. Their stomach couldn't handle it. Hey! And he diagnosed it as food poisoning. May God save you this afternoon from food poisoning. Because you see, at Christmas, we try to eat so many things we're not sure of. Must be careful now. Amen. Here it is, Jesus. At the time of the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that the census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid." He said, "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David." May the Lord bless the reading of His word and the preaching of His word. Amen. Now, this Gospel of St. Luke is written by a doctor who gives a little bit more historical background to the birth of Jesus. And he says the governor called this one organized that people must come pay taxes, or people must come register their names. And it all sounds so technical in detail, but it is so to show you that there's a lot of natural things that takes place even though the supernatural has happened. Jesus was supernaturally imposed into the womb of Mary, not by a man but by the Holy Spirit. We all know that, and that is why we are here to believe that His birth was an incarnate birth. Hallelujah. He had no earthly father. The Holy Spirit impregnated Mary, and Mary had to carry Jesus for 9 months. So the first little point I want to show you this morning out of the story of Jesus is that we realize from the book of Luke that there's a mixture of natural with supernatural. What was supernatural? How can a woman be pregnant with no man is involved? Amen. I saw TV the other day that these two men, they had some babies. It's the modern world today, you see. I can now still speak because the cameras are not yet here. So these two men had big beards and they were giving the babies bottles. So they were saying, "It's a celebrity." By chance, I was changing the channel because I was watching TV, and when Manchester came on, I changed quickly the channel. I don't like. But then I came past the channel where there was this popular person. So they said, he and his partner has now 3 children. So I said, the partner was a man. And I did shriek. Because he had a beard. While they were feeding the baby nicely. So they also showed that it's taken from another lady, which is the surrogate woman who gives birth to this child. You see, somehow impregnation is taking place there. So I saw these babies, beautiful babies. So I think to myself, a man, as much a man, and it's stick bad, verstaan jy? It's grof. Of any een grove man steeds hom nou. Die kind gaan moes hier reg wees. Kan niet iemand sag ook in die woordigheid. Hey. But anyway, I don't know why I said that. It's just that. Listen. That's not supernatural. That is away from the natural. That's something else. But here, an impregnation takes place. And God can do anything. But yet He decides to allow Mary to carry that baby for 9 months. I want you to listen to me quickly about what is the mixture of natural and supernatural. I'm sure God could have made that baby come out in 4 months. Do you believe? I mean, if you can make a baby grow and there's no man, surely He can decide. But the lesson we learn from this whole thing is now, you see, it says there was a governor, this one, who said that the children must come to give their names at this time. So in all that, Jesus is born, and these natural things affect His movement from this place to that place. And it looks sometimes that it's just historical things, it's how it must be, but God is working behind the scenes. Are you with me? But sometimes He doesn't just continually do miracles. He allows both the miracles plus the natural things to happen. So as she was impregnated supernaturally, she had to naturally carry the baby like any other woman for 9 months. So sometimes when you wonder why God is not working for you, then that is maybe a natural part of something you must experience. But you're looking for a supernatural help, but it doesn't work like that. There's a mixture, say mixture. Yeah. And sometimes you can feel God has left you, God is not here, where's God? No, no, no. Everything is not just supernatural. God does work supernaturally, and He puts things in place. I was on the telephone with my friend. There was a person there in the picture there with Jason. He's a doctor. And he was a South African who went that side. So we were chatting and he said that my son, who is in America, they are watching him closely because they think that there's something special about him. I said, why? They said, it's not common for people. You see, he was going to go to another place in America some years ago. He was going to go to the state of Iowa at another college. But then that person there who knew him moved to Greenville. And that person said, let him not go there. Let him come to me in Greenville. But without knowing, my friend who's a doctor, his mother and father decided to leave Pennsylvania, which is another place far, and moved down to Greenville. After living there for 40 years, they've now made a move, bought a very big house right there where Jason is. So he said, I didn't say this, he said on the phone, they can see things falling into place supernaturally, so that his coming here is something special that they are keeping their eye on. In other words, they say, he must be a special person whom God has a special intention, because Things can't work like that. That this man got the transfer to that place. This woman decided to sell a house to move here. You see? So everything is falling into place. And it doesn't look, it looks natural. Ons het besluit ons gaan net trek ons huis. Maar God is agter klom goed wat jy nie van weet nie. Sometimes even your disappointments is part of God's plan for you. But you think it's a disappointment, but it's actually God's appointment. It's wonderful. I think God sometimes allows the opportunities to come and we miss it when we should have grabbed it. Are you with me? The natural, say mystery, it's a mystery. And it's a mixture, say mixture. Hallelujah. So God doesn't interrupt things. Hy kom nie heeltyd interfere in jou lewe nie. Jy moet 'n bietjie self ook sukkel. Sê amen. Sê die Here het my die man gegee, maar hoe kan sukkel ek nou so? Die Here het my die vrou gegee, maar hoe kom nie? The natural plus the supernatural. Hallelujah. And almost all miracles are actually supernatural if you think about it. Or let's say every miracle, let me put it correct, is a mixture of both the supernatural and the natural. Are you with me? Like we say in the Bible, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You believe it? But you're also seated here in Bellevue's hall on the blue chair. So it's both supernatural plus the natural. Two things at the same time. If we look at natural things, then we realize there's actually an element of something supernatural in it. Let's take the birth of a baby, even just the normal birth of a baby. Impregnation, a little condensed milk is imparted into a woman, and that condensed milk develops eyes, develops hands, develops feet, starts to beat, heart starts to beat. Is it not a miracle? Out of nothing, pop, sap, condensed milk, he's no armpies. I mean, really, the woman is big and she, how's the child going to come out? Hey, from the natural to the supernatural. I think that's one of the greatest miracles. If you ever doubted there's a God, just look at your neighbor. He was once a piece of panelik. Juice, you were juice. How do you explain? How can scientists explain that a human being can be what he is? So, you say, no, but it's natuurlijk. Is it natuurlijk? God is bezig om te werk. Look at your own body. You have a heart in your body that is beating since the day you were born. So it doesn't matter how old you are. If you are 35 years old, then for 35 years, every day, your heart has been beating. If I'm correct, it's 80 beats per minute if you're normal. Some is between 80 and 120. You see, so your heart beats. If you get excited, it beats faster. If you exercise, it beats also faster. If you see a nice girl you like, it also beats faster. Do you understand? But think of it. It's one organ that cannot rest. Your legs can get tired if you run, isn't it? Some people here can't run more than 1 kilometer, then they must walk. Is it true? Some run from one pole to the next pole, then they must walk. I know them, they are here, but I cannot point them out to you. Then the muscles say, I want to rest. But there's one muscle that cannot rest for a minute. It's the muscle of the heart inside of you. It's been beating for 50 years if you're 50 years old. Every second, it's beating. If you think about it and you think, as I know, moet sê, even look at Christmas breakfast. Dan sy weg. Hy wil ook 'n holiday. Can the heart take a holiday? Wonderful Jesus. The natural with the supernatural. It's a mixture. Amen. But it's important that you understand this. And that you don't just want everything to be supernatural. Please, Christians, listen. When God saves us, it doesn't take away our common sense and our brains. Amen? We are charismatic, we are Pentecostal, but we're not mad. And we're not crazy. Hallelujah! Don't set aside the rules of the natural, because you will set yourself up for disaster. You can't pray in tongues for everything. If you see a nice girl you like, you can't ask the Lord and say, Here, wys my met a droom, Here. Now say the Here. Now comes and say, the Here say is iets met the S. As your name Sharon of Susie, then said yay. No. You need to look at natural things. When I was younger, I first said, No, it's love, 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 love. When I was younger, love covers them. Because we had somebody who taught us once about mixing couples and everything. And then he said, it's not good for a person who went to university to study so many years. He's a doctor. Now he sees this lady. She's cleaning the floors and he falls in love with her. So he said, it's not good. And I was still thinking, no, but love is love. Do you understand? If he loves her, he loves her. It's like, what is that movie of Richard Gere and that lady that was a pretty woman, stupid woman with a very rich man. That's a movie. You are not in a movie. Do you understand? Because when love comes to an end, hey, then you must just live with the person. You are there, but love is not there anymore. Love is in the air, but love is not in your heart anymore. I teach the girls also, because some girls go to university, they study, they make themselves. Now they come and they see Mr. John Trapp on the side. Now throw they. Are you listening? But they die Here gevra. Jy moet 'n bietjie dink ook. Gebruik jou kop ook. The natural plus the supernatural. Hy mannetjie gaan die hekke vir jou oopmaak in die oggend en vir jou in die kar sit en sê gaan werk, ek wag vir jou as jy vanaand huis toe kom. Because you wanted to treat something natural, supernatural. Ay man, my tyd is om, laat ek gaan. That's why you need advice. Young people, you need advice from people that have experienced life. Don't just go into it with your feelings and your emotions. Are you listening? Anyway, let me get to the second point quickly. You see, people cannot always see the difference because of this mixture of natural and supernatural. They sometimes don't know that the man of God is both natural and is supernatural. Are you with me? So when they see something he does naturally, they forget that he's also a vessel of God. The big mistake of most people. So wisdom is your ability to see this man is natural, but there's also something different about him. And that's where most people miss what God can do for them. Because the advice I'm giving to you is not accepted by everybody. It's despised by other people. Are you with me? Because others see, no, this is just a natural man. But depending on how you can see the mixture. Yes, he is natural. But there are some times when he's operating in the supernatural. Then one word from him can be a word from God. Because he's a vessel that is used by God. But you miss it if your mind is then operating and say, Nearman. And that's the problem, you see, because Mary, listen, Mary had a supernatural baby. His name was Jesus. But after Mary gave birth to him, do you know Mary had a lot of other children? The one's name was James. I think the other one was, see the names? Joseph. There was a number of them. They were not born supernatural. They were born natural. And there was a mixture. Some of them did not even believe in Jesus that he comes from God. Because the Bible says his brothers did not believe in him. Even though Mary told them. And that is how ministry is. So you got a man of God that is a supernatural vessel. But the people cannot always understand it and cannot always receive it. But what God naturally does is he moves the man away from people who does not receive him. So Jesus could not do things in Nazareth. So he had to leave to where the people believed him. And the Bible says his mighty miracles was done in Chorazin and Bethsaida, two other cities, but not where the people knew him. Praise God. And we've taught so many times that when God is using somebody, it costs humility from the family to accept God is using the person. Joseph's brothers also didn't think that he could be so great and used. Even he told them, God is using me. It's only later they realize we need him now. Amen. So the second important point is that he was put swaddling clothes and he was born in a stable. And that is the cloak of humility. Because he came from a very great place with streets of gold, mansions, but he came clothed in humility. In other words, the first thing he heard when he opened his ears was the sound of animals. Ah, this is how God works sometimes. If there's no humility, then God cannot work. But you see, you must not mistake a man's humility and see, oh, because he's humble, he's got no authority. You see, some pastors obviously come to church with Cadillacs and three-piece suits, so you can mistake the kingly dress, you see, and then another one comes only with a sweater and a jean, but you can't look at outside things to understand who the person is. You can't, because Jesus was born in a stable. That's why the Jews couldn't accept him, because they thought if he was the king of the Jews, he had to be born in what? Anyone City Hospital or Panorama. But he came to Delft Clinic. Hallelujah. Jesus. Is it a rechte, is it a rechte gelijkenis wat ek nou maak? Wat a kliniek is baie erg. Huh? Delft Clinic. Hulle sê net voor jy dood gaan, dan kom hulle gauw. God is very serious about humility. God doesn't like proud people. So God sometimes puts on like a garment of humility on you. Are you with me? And you must accept that garment. It could be in many forms. You could have sorrow on this earth, and that pain and sorrow is also to keep you humble. Because if you don't have the cloak of humility, God is not impressed with you. There's a book called The Torch and the Sword by Rick Joyner. If you have time in the holidays, buy this book. Rick Joyner, The Torch and the Sword. He talks about how God put on him a cloak of you. He was in heaven. He had a vision of heaven. So he went to see the Lord. But before he went in, they put on him a cloak of humility. But the cloak didn't look nice. It was ugly. You see? But every time he wanted to take it off, he felt that he was pushed out of the presence of God. So they said, no, keep on that cloak. Otherwise, you can't go close to Jesus. Cloak of humility comes sometimes through trials and tests and difficulties. The baby was born with swaddling clothes in a manger. Hallelujah to God. And I close with the last words. It's actually called the disguise of humility. I think that's a better way to put it. Amen. The disguise of humility. The disguise. God disguises people. 30 years Jesus was a carpenter. He made coffins. He made doors. He made windows. He made roofs. And suddenly after 30 years, people all knew him as a carpenter. He was in a disguise. Say disguise. Then suddenly he says, I'm actually the Son of God. You can't blame the people for not believing him because they got fooled by the disguise of humility. It's powerful, isn't it? Lastly, it says the shepherds were in the field. I just want to speak to my pastors and my leaders here today. Shepherds were in the field. They did three things. The Bible says in verse 8, there were shepherds in the field. There were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Hallelujah. In the King James, it says they were abiding in the field. I want to tell all the pastors here that although it's holidays, please, we need to abide in the fields. Amen. They were not in an office with a briefcase. They were in the field with the sheep. Hallelujah. It's called field work. Because somebody must do the work of the ministry. I was thinking of my group that must look after the place, and we were struggling to find a relief for them because they can't leave the property alone. And I realized that everybody can take a break, but those guys can't take a break. They are always abiding in the field. Are you with me? And so too, I go there every day to see that they are okay because we need to abide in the field. They lay up gardens by, my oars abide in the field. Say, amen. That's how I plick my gardens by, but Allah Subhanahu. Harmony pa. Bring your own XYZ to Harmony pa. Only a few people do the work of the ministry. May you abide in God's field, which is God's work, and then angels will appear unto you. All of you work hard for the Lord, I guarantee angels will appear unto you because they appear to the shepherds. What were they doing? They were watching their flock in the night. Amen. The church is known as a place where sheep comes, and the pastor is known as a shepherd. So anybody here who works with people, you are a shepherd of sheep. Say amen. But if you don't do that, you are not a shepherd, so I'm not talking to you. I'm just talking to them quickly. What must they do? They must look after the sheep. In other words, look out for enemies. One of this church's strong teachings is to look out for enemies of the sheep. And a normal church member cannot understand why it's important because he's not a shepherd. A shepherd is looking for the fox and for the wolf. And for the lion, because the sheep will be attacked. Is it true? Who are the enemies? Those who forget, those who accuse you, those who are dangerous. Those who leave you. We must be careful, because when a wolf comes, he will destroy the sheep. And lastly, they were watching them in the night. May the Lord help us to be prayerful in the night, because in the day, it's not easy to be prayerful. too much distractions. Pastors, are you listening? Don't go on permanent holiday because your members will backslide. We've tried everything, but we have realized it is like this. Over the festive season, the Christians that are not strong will easily be enticed and they will go back, and it's hard to get them back into the fold. I met such a young man just in the week, was once a member of our church, and he didn't look well. And I connected somebody to go and find him again, bring him back, because this is a common thing where young people, not just young people, all people who come to the Lord are attacked by the wolves again. They come, they're excited for God, but it's especially in a time like this. Alles vol op is, amen. Kos is vol op, drank is vol op. En as mense dronk is, hulle gee so maar goed weg, joh. As hulle nuchter word, dan soek hulle die God. En sy soek aan die mengelmoes, is lekker daar. Sê, ach, is maar net Christmas, man. Is maar net een keer wat ons gauw hier die kaaselkie gaat afgaan. Ons gaan hem... And then later it leads to further problems. Then you see the person is no longer serving God because the shepherds... So I'm saying to the shepherds here, continually watch your flock. An SMS, a WhatsApp, a call, maybe a visit if it's possible during this festivity. There's no church Sunday. We meet New Year's, we come back. Hey, we lose many sheep in this time. May you watch your sheep, may you watch your flock. Amen. That they said, the angels appeared and said, we have good news. A Savior is born. This is the prayer of my heart as I close. One day, they must say of you, the day you were born, it was good news because you touched the lives of other people. Are you going to go to the grave without making any change in this world? Will they say of you, the angels will say of you, we have good news today in the city of Chestnut Place, a Savior was born. I was born in Elsie's River, Epping Avenue. So I'm sure in the context of the work I'm doing, it would be said, in that day, 19 so and so, a Savior was born. Are you listening? A good person, a helper was born. I believe that they will say that of you. Even if you didn't do anything up till now, from today is a new day, a day of change. That there was, the angels will say, we have glad tidings of great joy. In the city of David, a Savior is born. Stand to your feet and be close. Lift your hands to heaven. I pray for all of us, and then we will go. Amen. We also have, if you didn't get a Christmas card, don't leave. My wife or somebody will be at the door to give you. My wife will be here and she will hand out some Christmas cards to you. Amen. Father, we thank you for the birth of Jesus Christ in this world, for sending a Savior to come and pay for the sins of all of us. Where would we have been if it was not for Jesus? So we celebrate Him. We celebrate the birth of our Savior. And we thank you, Lord, for coming to earth, all the way from heaven to earth, to show us the way. We thank you that you came to pay the price, to rescue us from our wickedness and our sins. Now I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice, that by your great power, you will watch over them, Lord. As the shepherd watched over the flock in the night, watch over us over this festive days. Oh God, there are many reports every year of deaths, drownings, car accidents. I now pray to you and I claim my authority as your servant. I suspend all premature deaths. I block all accidents. I come against every evil plan of the devil to cut short our time, if it's not our time, I pray your hand of protection, and I plead the blood of Jesus over every individual here in this place. I pray that we will return safely in the new year, again to give you praise and to worship you, because we come from you. You have made us, and to you we want to give the praise, the honor, and the glory. I pray for those who don't have much, that you will provide for them. Touch the hearts of those who have plenty to share with those who do not have. Thank you for the mixture of the natural and the supernatural. May our eyes be wise to see what is from God, and help us, Lord, by wisdom to make good decisions and good choices in this world. We thank you for everything you have done for us, and we bless you for this Christmas day.